On today's edition of the Locked On Nets podcast, we continue our player review series. Today's edition, Nick Claxton. We talk about the rookie and his year, all that and more coming up on Locked On Nets.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome into another edition of the Locked On Nets podcast, part of our year in review player series. I'm your fearless host, Josh Bass, and joining me as always is Marcus Barahal on the night the NBA finals start. So like any good NBA podcast, we have to prioritize the important things in life. Nick Claxton's year in review. Marcus, are you excited?
Oh, of course, Josh. You know, we certainly could be talking Lakers Heat, talking about LeBron going up against his former team in search of his fourth title, but that's boring. You know, we want to talk about the 15 games that Nick Claxton suited up for the Nets.
Exactly. I mean, we don't, like, everyone's talking about the present. You know, we want to talk about who's got next, and that very well may be Nick Claxton.
It certainly could be. I mean, there were flashes that I'm sure we'll get into that really excited both of us.
Yeah, but it's been a while since we talked though. So how are you doing? Because I know you have a lot coming up with your LSAT test. So I just want to make sure you're okay.
Yeah. Thanks for checking in. I'm good. I'm taking the test this Saturday. Just did a practice one today. Got my highest score yet. So feeling good.
Let's go.
Heading into the test this weekend, and this is a nice. Just like the last time, this is a nice like distraction for me from studying.
Yeah, no, I'm glad to always glad to distract, and this is just the first 7-year path to becoming an NBA agent, getting that law degree. So we're all very happy for you and rooting
young
for
Sean Marks.
Positive, send some positive vibrations and thoughts Marks's way if you're out there listening. But let's get into kind of the reason why we're here today. It's to talk about Nick Claxton. The Nets' precocious rookie for a team that really, you know, doesn't have a ton of, I guess maybe does have a couple young guys that could pan out and be interesting. Claxton was, of course, came into the league this year and was the youngest player on the team, basically playing in his age 21 season. And I think coming into the year, there was mixed expectations. Some people really liked the pick. There were others like me that didn't like it that much just because the things that people thought he, you know, had kind of some guard skills but didn't really do them that well, and there didn't seem like there was anything that really stuck out with him. But I thought throughout the season, he didn't play much, you know, under 200 minutes total for the big team and, you know, limited games to the Long Island Nets, but he definitely showed promise, as you said, Marcus. So when you look at Claxton's season this year, I think you have to rate it as a success considering expectations.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he was a second round pick. Granted, it was 31st overall, so could have easily gone in the first round. But yeah, I mean, like you said, we didn't see a ton of him, only 15 games, kind of right when it looked like maybe he would kind of carve out a role for himself on this team. He kind of got injured and then was up and down in the G League for a lot of the season. But yeah, I was impressed with him, and I was impressed specifically with his versatility. I was pretty neutral on the pick when it happened because I'm just like not as big of a college basketball watcher as you are, I don't think. I know you wanted Kabengele, who actually was drafted with a Nets pick before being eventually sent to the Clippers, I believe. And Nikhil Alexander-Walker was originally a Nets pick also. So they moved off those guys to clear the cap space that they would eventually need to sign KD, Kyrie, and DeAndre Jordan, and so they had to kind of work with what they had, and what they had were like those cheaper second round picks. And so with Claxton, I mean, I don't know, we've talked about like sort of like the blasphemous comp for him is like Chris Bosh, because there's obviously no comparison in terms of talent, but just in terms of kind of game and kind of like sort of just like style of play almost, there's a little bit of similarity there. I was really impressed with some of his passing that we saw, and the fact that like the Nets used him as a power forward a lot of the time, which surprised me. I don't know if that surprised you, but just in terms of sort of like the well-roundedness of his game at such a young age. I mean, and this is all taking into context, like he's not that good yet, but for what he is, he kind of can do a lot of different things.
Yeah, I agree. I thought, you know, his passing and ball handling for a rookie big is pretty good. Or maybe you could even say really good. He can finish around the basket well. He can crash the offensive glass. I mean, his three-point shot, you know, he shot it well in the G League, but, you know, I think that's such a small sample size that you can look more at kind of what he did in college at Georgia and where he was pretty inconsistent. I think shot it at 28% his sophomore year. So, but maybe as the makings of it, I didn't think his form looked bad, but he did have some pretty off misses when he was up with the big team. But he has the makings of a guy that can do a lot of different things, you know, skilled big, can catch it on the roll. Hopefully we'll be able to kind of take his man off the dribble if he's matched up against, you know, a big lumbering center type. I think the questions for him, and really, you know, if he's going to be able to get playing time consistently, is on the defensive end, where he likes to challenge shots at the rim, and he's a pretty good athlete, but he's so slight, and I think that showed up in his really, really bad defensive rebounding rate of about 13.5%, that he needs to put on a lot of muscle if he's going to, you know, be kind of a full-time big man in this league, because I don't know if the shot's ever going to come around enough for him to be, you know, someone who's playing the four predominantly.
Continue supporting restaurants in your community safely. There are thousands of restaurants open for delivery on DoorDash that need your patronage now more than ever. DoorDash is the app that brings you food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Just open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the US, Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. One more time, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
Definitely. And like the sort of concept of someone being a tweener has kind of like gone out the window a little bit with like the lack of emphasis on like positions and like how rigid things used to be. Like a guy like Draymond Green in the past would have been way too short to play center, but now he's able to at times. Claxton, though, still kind of is in that little bit of a tweener range where like he's not quite good enough as an outside shooter, at least in the very limited sample we have, for him to be playing at the four. And like you said, he's a little too slight to be at the center position right now. Like we've seen even Jared Allen kind of get pushed around at times, mm-hmm. given his frame. And Claxton, still younger than him, still has more room to grow physically. So you definitely would like to see him kind of commit one way or the other. That's going to be determined by him and by the coaching staff and all that stuff kind of juggled. But I definitely agree. He needs to bulk up on the defensive end and in terms of rebounding. But yeah, he has a lot of things that I feel like aren't super teachable, like that sort of touch and sort of vision and like keeping your head up. I don't know. He has a lot of things to me that I didn't expect. And maybe that's great, but at the same time, he doesn't have some things that maybe I did expect, like the rebounding, like you talked about.
Yeah, I mean, he's amazing on the offensive glass, which I didn't expect at all. But he really crashes hard. Like, the two best games he had this year were back-to-back, and I think positive signs because, you know, both losses to the Bucks and to the Sixers in January, but to the Bucks one, I mean, the Nets were close in that game in the first half and were able to do so based on the momentum from Claxton. But, you know, in those games, he gets 10 rebounds total. 8 of them are offensive. And, you know, wow. He averages 14.5 points in that span, 65% shooting from the field, can make a lot of things happen. But he's, you know, these are times where he's playing 18 or 20 minutes and he's getting zero defensive rebounds. I mean, maybe it's because the rest of the Nets defense, including himself, was so bad there weren't any misses. But you want to hope in an ideal world that you are forcing misses and you need to be able to secure them.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, to what I talked about earlier, he was playing at times alongside a center. So maybe like rebounding isn't as big of a point of emphasis, but in those games, like in the Sixer game, I remember DeAndre Jordan was out, and so that was kind of why he was thrust in.
Yeah, he had his finger injury, so he was kind of the backup. Claxton was the backup center for those.
Yeah, and so like in that case, definitely you need to provide more than literally zero defensive rebounds. Like in those other games earlier on in the season where he's kind of playing the four, you know, those games will happen. Even Anthony Davis in the conference finals had games where he's not getting a rebound until like the third, fourth quarter. That can be kind of fluky, especially given how small of a sample size we have on Claxton. But like you said, it can't be literally zero. Like we got to see something.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's like one of those instances where the eye test does match up with the box score. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's something that he needs to work on. His nickname is the Slim Reaper for a reason. So he needs to bulk up, but you know, he was a problem when he was with the Long Island Nets, 17.5 per game on 66% shooting. Sign me up.
Yeah, that's great. And he shot the ball well from three in the G League, like you said. It's all just, it's so limited of a sample. Like even his G League numbers, he didn't play a ton there. I think he only played 9 games. So yep. 24 games total for him in the last year is really not a lot. So I don't know. There's not a huge path for him for playing time next year, unless, like we've talked about, there's a trade. And so that could make it even harder, like to determine like where he's at and where he maybe could end up being if he even next year isn't getting much playing time, if any.
Yeah, that it's a good point because he's kind of in a rough situation now because he had a big opportunity for playing time in Long Island this season. And you could say maybe that the Nets should have been sending him down more and having him get big run there because he wasn't even going to see the floor unless there was games where Allen or DJ were injured. And both those guys generally hold up pretty well. I think Allen basically played every game. DJ maybe 3 or 4 with his finger injury. And this is obviously kind of pre-bubble. So, you know, there could have been merit to saying, you know, Claxton's a guy, he's not like a seasoned player by any stretch. He only played 2 years in Georgia and kind of a pretty bad SEC team. So he could have definitely used more seasoning. And I would have liked to see him play then. But then obviously you have the bubble, DJ's out. This is going to be a huge opportunity for him because the Nets have no expectations. And then unfortunately he misses – coming down to Orlando with shoulder surgery just because he tore his labrum in his left shoulder. And obviously, you know, concerning because he is a lefty in general and he misses that valuable development time.
Yeah, that would have been so great to have him in the bubble. Like even putting aside his development, like the Nets could have actually used him.
Yeah.
They were running Rhody Kurucs at the five at times. Like they signed Dante Hall to try to give them something and he was good at times, but a little too foul happy. Like Claxton could have really gotten some minutes, gotten some run and maybe taken some of the burden off of Jared Allen, who wound up playing like 38, 40 minutes in some of those games. So it was a real missed opportunity. I was definitely upset that he wasn't going to be able to go. And yeah, just like looking forward, I think I would lean towards what you were just saying about sending him down more. I think it's more important for him at this stage to get time playing in the G League. Like we saw it with the Raptors the last few years, like they're able to have a competitive NBA team and then have guys who maybe could be contributing to like your average team just playing down in the G League, getting run, getting time. And then when those guys in the big team like have to move on or are traded or whatever, like those guys down below have been learning the same system. They've been getting reps with each other, which is really helpful, like kind of coming up as a unit almost. Like the Nets don't have quite the depth of young guys to maybe have that kind of situation. But I think for Claxton, it would have been a big benefit for him to play more down in the G League. And maybe we'll see that next year.
RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and super easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, those prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
Agreed. Yeah, I think if Allen and DJ are both on this team next year, mm-hmm. you have to give Claxton significant reps in the G League, only, you know, just to do him a solid. And at least if he plays well down there, a team might want to take a look at him if the Nets don't see him in their long-term future. But what about the scenario where Allen does get traded this offseason that we've talked about, or midseason? Do the Nets feel comfortable with Claxton kind of being the full-time backup center for this team that's going to have really big expectations, or just does his lack of track record and also consistency on the defensive end kind of rule him out for a team that is going to have those high expectations and also demanding leaders in KD and Kyrie?
Yeah, that's a tough question. I'm definitely in favor of like giving him a shot. If it were up to me, it would be like Jared Allen and Claxton playing with DJ not really getting any run, but that's not going to be what happens. So if it came down to it, like, I think I would be okay with it in the regular season, but like just thinking about playoff time, like we saw in a lot of matchups, DeAndre Jordan just looked overmatched. He looked old. He looked slow. He looked tired. And like, you need someone who you can pivot to when that happens. And Claxton certainly could be that guy. He certainly could have sort of a different skill set and bring something different to the table, a different look for the team. But I definitely wouldn't trust him in a playoff situation. Like if, I don't know, whoever it is, like if Bam Adebayo is kind of like carving up DeAndre Jordan in a Heat Nets playoff matchup next year, like you need someone who you can pivot to. Could Claxton be that guy because he's maybe younger, quicker, and can maybe keep up with Bam a little bit more? Maybe. Like we've been talking about, though, we just haven't really seen it. And so if he is going to, like, if Jared Allen gets traded midseason, basically, I want it to be because we've seen Claxton early on in the year and we've seen him kind of succeed, particularly on the defensive end. And it shouldn't happen if they're not confident in him and they don't have any other options either that they've signed or that they're trading for.
I think that makes sense. Like, it's kind of a chicken and the egg situation because like you need to see him get reps to like feel good about him playing, but mm-hmm. he's not going to get those with kind of the current roster construction.
Yeah. It's almost like ideal if DeAndre is just does like a Cavaliers LeBron style, I'm going to go take a vacation for 2 weeks. Like I'll be back. And then Claxton's like, okay, I'm going to get 20, 25 minutes a night for the next 2 weeks. Let me just show what I can do. But that's not going
to
happen.
So. Marks are just like encouraging that. Like, oh, we got you tickets to Bora Bora. Go for it.
Expiring. You kind of have to go now. I know it's the season, but.
Oh, whoops. Everything got thrown off. You're supposed to be in February during the All-Star break, but I guess they'll just have to go now. I think actually having Nash in as coach helps him, just having like a more progressive guy, because like the one thing that a lot of these Claxton type players fall into trouble with is that a coach that has a more like old school mindset, and I don't think Kenny is this at all, but maybe Jacques Vaughn would have been, or some others out there like a Mark Jackson, they're like, oh, your backup center has to be, you know, someone who's decent defensively. I don't care if they're the biggest stiff ever and can't catch a pass, and I don't care if they can do things like Claxton, like dribble, catch on the move, finish. They just want someone who's like, you know, going to understand the system defensively and not mess up. And I think Nash is going to be, you know, more willing to like take shots on guys with upside and throw them out there and see what happens. So not as rigid. So I think that could actually really help him in breaking into the rotation early on, because he's going to mess up on defense. It's just natural given that he's such a young guy with limited experience. But, you know, do the Nets see something in him where they're going to let him play through those mistakes because they think he could be, you know, a piece of something bigger? And he's not going to ever be like an all-star or maybe even a starting caliber player, but he could be a nice player on the off the bench. I really do feel that even from seeing him in limited action.
Yeah, I agree. I think we were both really impressed, particularly that quarter. I think it was in the Philly game where he was just unstoppable. There's real flashes there with him. And yeah, I'm hoping he gets a shot in some way. I'm not really sure how that'll happen depending on roster construction, but yeah, I would like to see him get a chance.
For sure. Give our man Nick a chance. I think that's the longest anyone's ever gone on talking about Nick Claxton. But we did it. We are we're back in your ears tomorrow with a player I think that we'll have a lot more to talk about in Spencer Dinwiddie, the polarizing Spencer Dinwiddie, but one of our favorites on and off the court. So we are very excited to talk about that. And tune in tomorrow to hear what we thought of Spencer's season in review and what he has cooking for the coming up season.
Make sure you guys are following us on Twitter at LockedOnNets. Josh is at JMBass_. I am at Marcus Barahal. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll be back tomorrow with Spencer Dinwiddie, a big episode coming up tomorrow. Until then, be well. Bye.